Church, we are continuing our series of how to be a church for the region, and every week we're looking at an aspect of something that we're supposed to do with our Christianity and how we're supposed to view things. And this morning, we're going to be talking on the value of human life, that what we should come to recognize is that every single human life has intrinsic value, has incredible, unimaginable value. The reason that we're talking about that this morning is because, sadly, in this country, as a country overall, we're losing sight of that. And I want to start out by sharing some stats with you, and I need to preface it with something, because sometimes when we hear stats, we think there's some sort of political agenda or something like that. There's not. I just want to give you facts, some hard numbers of maybe things you're not aware of that are going on in our country. I want to begin by talking about gun deaths will be the first stat. And all of these stats come from 2020. In 2020, there was 45,000 total gun deaths in the U.S., by far the most on record. It represents a 14% increase from the year before and a 25% increase from 5 years earlier and a 43% increase from a decade ago. So gun deaths are on the rise. What that translates to is every day 111 people die in America due to gun violence. Sadly, 54% of all gun-related deaths in the U.S., so think about that, 54% of the 45,000 were suicides. Most gun deaths in America result in a suicide. In total, in 2020, there were nearly 46,000 suicides. That is one death every 11 minutes in the United States. That means that since we have been on stage, that nearly four people have killed themselves. Now here's a tough one. Culture is invading our space. And some of you need to hear this. For children who identify as lesbian, gay, or bisexual, they are three times more likely than straight kids to attempt suicide at some point in their lives. Now, the tougher one to accept is the next one. Young individuals, young people that identify as lesbian, gay, or bisexual, who come from families that reject or do not accept them, are over eight times more likely to attempt suicide than those whose families accept them. That's a pretty sobering statistic. In 2020, there were 538,000 violent crime incidences in the U.S. Homicides, rapes, and aggravated assaults are all on the rise, the highest they've been in the past 12 years. Now, every week in this series, the sermon graphic has something to do with Lake or Porter County. So as you look behind me, the map, that is a satellite map of the Midwest. Maybe you're wondering, what is that? Looks like mold growing on a slide. Those spots that you see are hotspots for human trafficking in the Midwest. So as it transitions from blue to green to yellow to orange to red, it shows the intensity of hotspots, and if you look there, you will see that coming from Chicago all the way down to into Lake and Porter County, it is a hotspot for human trafficking in the U.S. In 2020, 16,600 individuals were identified as victims of human trafficking. Now, the sad reality is most researchers recognize that that number is way, way short, because those are victims who have been identified as human trafficked victims. Most researchers believe that the number is closer to 300,000. but I want to give you some clarity. One of the biggest misconceptions about human trafficking is when we hear that term, we often think, oh, well, somebody's been kidnapped. You ready for some sad truth? 42% of all human traffic victims were brought into sex trafficking by a member of their own family. 42%. 39% were recruited by an intimate partner or through a marriage proposition. That's how people get brought into human trafficking. And globally, the human traffic industry earns a profit of roughly $150 billion a year. You see, something is wrong in our world. We have to ask, what has happened here? Human life is considered to be of little or no value anymore. Every day, hundreds of people in the United States are killed by someone. They take their own lives or sold into slavery. Every day. Every single day, right here in the United States. Why? What's interesting about those stats that I gave you is they have something in common. They've put a value on human life. You see, in the case of the murders or the suicides, somebody has said that human life has no value. They've put a value on it, and it says it's not worth anything. The human trafficking industry has put a value on human life. They say you're worth $150 billion to sell you into slavery and use your body up for the rest of your life. You're worth something, all right, and I'm going to make a profit off of it. You see, a significant part of the problem in America today is that people don't understand that human life has incredible value. In fact, it's a value that is beyond measure. I want to take the rest of my time to talk to you about how we should view human life and why it has value. Human life has value because we are made in the image of God. If we start right from the very beginning, and we need to start at this point, if we go to Genesis 1, verse 26, Genesis says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. It's our introduction to the Trinity. If you didn't know it, the very beginning statement says, "Let us make man in our image." Us and our are plural. Did you catch that? We're made in the image of God. We're made in the image of the Trinity. Out of all of God's creation, humans are unique. Being created in the image of God means that we resemble God's nature. We are relational creatures. We are his representatives. Human life has value because we are made in the image of God, because we are a reflection of God. Human life has value because God created above all the rest of his creation. Just continuing on in Genesis, picking up on verse 28, God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, and it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given you every green plant for food, and it was so." God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there were evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. From this passage, we come to see that God has given us something. We are above the rest of his creation. We are to subdue and rule over it. We have to be careful with that passage. That's not an act of tyranny, saying we're supposed to destroy or cruelly rule over humanity or in the rest of this world, but we are to care for it. We are to be good stewards of what God has created. What you are to come to understand is that the creation of humankind is the apex of the creation story. At the end of the other days of creation, when we look at days 1 through 5, God ends the same way. He says, and it was good. But the end of day 6, after man has been created, after humankind has been created, God looks at all of creation and he says, and it was very good. There's a point that God puts to this, that we are the pinnacle of his creation. He values us above the rest of his creation. Human life has value because we are incomparable to the rest of creation. Human life has value because God carefully crafts each one of us. Psalm 139, verse 13, for you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. That sentiment is continued on when we go to Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Do you hear the language? We are designed, we are crafted, we are woven together. We're not just some clump of cells that just kind of muddled around in the muck and finally grew into this thing. We've been created and designed. That gives us value. But upon that, much more important than that, we are designed with a purpose in life. Human life has value because we have been designed and we have been crafted. Human life has value because Jesus Christ was willing to pay for our salvation. Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he, being Jesus, was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. And then, continuing on with that same thought, jumping to Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have incredible value because Jesus Christ was willing to pay for our salvation. Let me give you a little bit of perspective. Think about this. Almost everyone in this room probably carries some form of life insurance. We carry life insurance to place value on our lives so that we can pass that monetary value on to someone we love when we die. That's the heart of life insurance, to take care of others once we're gone. Somebody has placed a value on our life, a monetary value. But God values us so much that he gave up his son so that we could have an eternal relationship with him. Jesus Christ is our life insurance policy. His life is what we are worth. Let me say that again. The Son of God, his life, is what we are worth. Human life has value because our worth is beyond estimation. It's beyond it. How could we possibly put value on the Son of God? That's how much you're worth to God. Some of you need to hear this. Human life has value because all of heaven rejoices when just one sinner repents. Luke 15, verse 10. These are the words of Jesus. In the same way that I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Think of that. Every time a sinner repents, every time a sinner gets down on his knees and says, God, forgive me for what I've done. I want to live like you. All of heaven rejoices. Have you ever thought about that? Your own salvation, that time that you came before the Lord and you knelt down, said, God, forgive me. You realize there's like the ultimate wave in heaven. It was like, yes, he did it. She did it. And there's joy that flows throughout heaven. How precious we must be to God and the rest of his creation. Human life has value because even the angels celebrate our salvation. Human life has value because we are loved by God. Ephesians 2, beginning of verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Our salvation is a gift, but it's because God loved us. Paul writes in verse 4, it is because of his great love in which he loved us. It stems from love. Our salvation is a gift of love towards us. Through an act of love, God has given us this gift, the greatest gift anyone could ever receive, the gift of eternal life, a life in which you will never be separated from your Creator. Human life has value because we are held in deep affection by our Creator. Some of you are thinking maybe you've never been in a loving relationship. Maybe you grew up in a family that never showed love. Maybe you never felt love from mom or dad, or maybe from a spouse or from anyone. But you've always been loved by God. Always. Even when we were in rebellion, even when we walked in sin against him, he loved you so much that he sent his only son to die on a cross for you. Human life has value because we are eternal creatures. The 23rd Psalm, read so often at funerals, is a great perspective of how we should view our life. Verse 6, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Human life has value because we are imperishable. This world will pass away. This beautiful church will go away, will fade away. But we will live in the house of the Lord forever. We have value. So how do we apply this to our lives today? If we have human value and our mission is to be a church for the region, how do we take that and share it with the rest of the world? Number one, we should see every person as a precious creation made in God's image. I want to put a picture up on the screen for you to look at. You will never look into the eyes of someone that wasn't created in the image of God. You will never, ever look into the eyes of someone who wasn't created in the image of God. That should be a poster. You should see that everywhere you go. And a world that is becoming more and more divided by so many different things that the culture and the world is trying to separate us as human beings. You're never going to look into the eyes of someone that wasn't created in the image of God. If that doesn't change how we approach people, then we don't understand God. When we look at this, it means that every person, regardless of ethnicity, of social status, of background, of ability, or of age, bears the image of the same God that made you and me, and because of this, deserves our respect and our concern. Last week, we talked about Christian concern and compassion. We should respect and have concern for the world around us, meaning the people of Lake and Porter County. Number two, we should help those who are trapped by sin. When we help others reach out to Jesus for deliverance, we show that we value every human life. If we know people around us that are trapped in sin, maybe it's an affair, maybe it's alcoholism, maybe it's drugs, maybe it's pornography, maybe it's greed. Whatever it may be, whatever title we want to put on it, do we go and talk to them about it? Do we care enough? Do we understand that they have intrinsic value? Do we care enough about those individuals to approach them and say, I'm concerned for you, brother, I'm concerned for you, sister. I want to help you. You have incredible value, and you're not living the life that you were designed for. Let me help you. If we value human life and we see others as being created in the image of God, then why wouldn't we help those that are trapped by sin? Why wouldn't we? They're going to be with us in eternity. Maybe. Help them. Maybe they won't. There's an eternity for every single human being on this planet. It is one of two destinations, heaven or hell. If we value human life, we want everyone to join us in heaven, yes? That means we have to help people, folks. We've got to get out of our comfort zone. We have to say, look, this may be a little bit embarrassing, but I know you've been struggling with, can I talk to you about it? Can I lead you to somebody that will help you with that? I know somebody that's been going through that. I know somebody that conquered that. Do we value human life enough to share that with people? Or are we embarrassed by our faith? Lastly, we need to share the gospel and invite people to the church. Human life has value because we were created for a purpose. I'm going to get very specific here. You have been created for a purpose, South Lake. You, as Christians. In Peter's first letter, he writes this. But you are a chosen race. Peter is writing to the church when he says this. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Peter tells the church, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Do you recognize that you're royalty? Are we not children of God? And is he not the King of Kings? You are a royal family, period. You were created for a purpose. Now share that message with the world around you. You now have access to the King. You have access to his power, to his kingdom. You have a relationship with him. Now you're called to bring others into that. If we value human life, then why wouldn't we share the gospel with others? Why wouldn't we want them to see Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? And why wouldn't we want to worship and fellowship with them? There is strength in the church. So much incredible strength. When we gather together, we have life groups, we have Bible studies. It's not just about a Sunday morning. This is important. We worship the God who rescued us. We're worshiping the God who has given us an eternal life with him. That's corporate worship. We do that on a Sunday morning. There's instruction that you receive from the pulpit on how to be a Christian, to go and live that out in the world. That's important. That's part of our journey of faith. But one of the most important parts is fellowship, that as a church, that we come together and we help one another. As brothers and sisters, we form trusted circles where it's okay to say something like, you know what, I've been struggling with. Well, that's okay. This is a judgment-free zone. Vegas has a great slogan, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That should be the church's model. What happens here stays here. It don't matter. Not judgment. Let me help you. Inviting people to church is so important if we are going to transform Lake and Porter County. We have to invite people to church, and that is my challenge to you this week. I want you to think about that image. We've left it up there for a reason. It's going to stay up there. How much do you value human life? How much are you willing to talk to the people around you? Not worried if you're going to be ridiculed, not worried what people are going to think, but because you see that when you look into somebody's eyes, they have incredible value, that they have incredible worth, that you're going to share the gospel with them, you're going to invite them into church. So do that this week. Talk to people. I don't care who you are, whether you're young or old. You have a circle of people that you talk with. You don't realize it oftentimes. You go to the gas station. You go to the grocery store. One of the easiest places to talk to people is at the store. You're trapped in line. They're not going anywhere. You can talk to them. You know how much tellers love somebody that's just friendly with them? Because most people aren't. Just be nice to the teller, wherever you're at. I pray that you come to understand how valuable human life is. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Dear Heavenly Father, oh, how we need you. In this world, there's so much violence. There's so many things that are on the rise that are evil. We pray that you would intercede, that you would help us. Father, we love you. We dedicate our lives to you. Help us to be a church that breaks the barriers of these walls, to love on people, to see the value that you have placed on human life. Rescue us, save us, and help us to be the people that you have called us to be. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would like to receive a blessing this morning, would you simply hold out your hands like this? South Lake, you were created in the image of God with a purpose, and your value is that is equal to the Son of God. He died for you so that you could spend an eternity with your Heavenly Father. You have value. Do not forget that. Go now and share it with the world. Have a happy Father's Day. Hug the fathers that are in here. Give them a high five, whatever. And we will see you next week. God bless you all.